I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and open them to the book of Mark, and we're going to be this morning in Mark chapter 10, continuing our study through Mark's gospel. So what's the old saying? Man plans and God laughs, right? My plan is that we finish Mark's gospel this year. I think this can actually happen, believe it or not. But this morning, we've gotten past the midway point in Mark's gospel. Again, at the beginning of Mark's gospel, we've seen Jesus going around healing, performing miracles. And then we came to this point, actually last week, this point last week, when Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." It's the first time in all of Mark's gospel where we see Jesus actually giving the reason why he came. That he came to die. Up to this point, we've seen him teaching. We've seen him prophesying that he would die. But last week, he said, "The reason I've come is to give my life as a ransom for many." It's a shift in the direction of Mark's gospel. And now we're heading up to Jerusalem to see Jesus give his life as a ransom for many. But on the way, he comes to a city called Jericho. And so let's read about this interaction that Jesus has with a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And if you're able this morning, will you stand for the reading of God's word? Mark chapter 10. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me!" And he rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said. "Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is God's word. You may be seated. If you have a bulletin, there's an outline in your bulletin that I hope will serve you well and will help keep me honest. There we go. About a year and a half ago, we had a concert here at the church with an artist who I love. Her name is Ginny Owens. She came and did a concert. Some of you were here. Some of you might remember it. She's an amazingly gifted and talented artist. She has incredible talent, not only with her voice, but also on the piano. And she's just a great human being, period. She also happens to be blind. Amy and I got to know her well. In fact, she spent the night at our house. She and her band stayed at our place. And so we spent the night getting to know each other better. We stayed up talking. She lives in Nashville. She lives alone. She's got a really cool iPhone app that like imitates Braille or something. I can't quite figure out exactly how it works, but she handles her own emails. She does her own text messages. She cooks. In fact, she wanted my secret chili recipe for church chili that's actually won awards down at Cook's Corner. I gave it to her because I figured she's on the other side of the country, so there's not going to be any competition. But this is a woman who, even though blind, is incredibly self-sufficient. She's very independent. And I don't want to minimize the difficulty of being blind in 21st century America, but when you read about this passage in Mark's gospel that we read about blind Bartimaeus, I don't want you to think of a person like Ginny Owens. I want you to imagine for a minute what it would have been like to be blind in the first century. They didn't have Braille. They didn't have even sidewalks. They didn't have those buttons that you push at intersections that beep. They didn't have traffic signals at all. They didn't have running water that was always in the same place that you could turn on and you know you'd get cold on the right and hot on the left. In fact, we get to trust that our water out of the spigot's clean. They didn't. They didn't even have spigots. They didn't have computers, iPhones, audiobooks. In fact, most people who were blind in the first century would have thought that the reason they were blind was because of something either they had done or their parents had done. Some kind of sin that had brought about a curse from God. And they had no hope. No hope of laser eye surgery to burn away cataracts. They had no hope of changing their circumstances. None whatsoever. They were blind and they were resigned to be blind for the rest of their life. No hope. Except there was this teacher, this carpenter son, Jesus of Nazareth, who went around preaching good news about the kingdom of God. And not only did he preach, but he performed miracles. He multiplied fish and loaves. He healed the sick. He made the lame walk. He even, at times, made the blind see. Can you imagine being Bartimaeus, sitting here on the side of the road, a well-traveled road, and that's what he did. He was blind. He begged, and he sat, and Jericho's the last stop before Jerusalem if you're heading from Galilee south. In fact, it would have been there in Jericho, which was also called the City of Palms, that the palms for Palm Sunday would have been harvested, what we call Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. That's where those palm branches they would have been waving around would have come from. And so here he sits. And what does a blind person do when they sit? They listen, because that's what they can do. He sits on his cloak, and in all likelihood, the reason he sat on his cloak was that's probably where people would put money down for him. He didn't have, he wasn't one of the street musicians who had a guitar case open. He didn't have a pot, he had a cloak, and so that's where people would lay down alms for him. And he sits and listens, and it's a busy road, and sometimes, I'm sure it was a lonely place to be. I'm sure being blind is, in general, lonely. And so you can imagine him sitting there on the side of the road. People come by, and maybe he hears them walking by, and maybe he engages them in conversation, because he wants somebody to talk to. He wants somebody to show mercy to him. He wants somebody to help him. He may not know where his next meal's coming from. And so he sits and he talks to people. And as he's talking, he hears news about this Jesus of Nazareth. Now, at this point in time where we are in Mark's gospel, even though we're in chapter 10 and there's 16 chapters, the first 10 chapters were 3 years. The next 6 chapters are going to be a little more than a week, okay? So Jesus has been ministering for 3 years at this point. And news would have traveled. News would have traveled, and so as he's sitting there, he's engaging people and talking to them, and people are telling him about this Jesus. He's the big news, the feeding of the 5,000, the fights he gets in with the Pharisees and the religious establishment, the miracles he's performing. Maybe somebody had shared with him, hey, you know what? Maybe if you're lucky, Jesus will come by and give you sight too. So you can imagine him sitting there, begging, listening to people, hearing news. And then along comes Jesus. He's coming. The one who's given sight to the blind. Do you hear Bartimaeus cry? Do you hear him cry out for mercy from the Lord? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And this is a unique cry. You might not have picked up on it. But notice what he says in verse 47. He began to shout. Why is he shouting? Because there's noise and commotion, and he knows this is his shot. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is a unique cry because this is the only place in all of Mark's gospel where someone individually calls out to Jesus by name. Up to this point, it's all been rabbi or teacher. But here, Bartimaeus is the first one to use Jesus' name in calling him. And not only that, this is the first time, this is the only time, in fact, in all of Mark's gospel where the title Son of David is used. It's a unique cry. And so why here? Why is it that this encounter is, we've seen Jesus heal blind people before. Remember the guy at the pool of Bethesda? Why is this included? I think it's included for several reasons. I think because we know Bartimaeus' name, it's likely that Bartimaeus would be part of the early church to whom Mark was writing. Maybe Mark's readers even knew who Bartimaeus was. Not only that, but this encounter is here to show us that Bartimaeus is the model disciple. He gets who Jesus is. And he cries out to the Son of David for mercy. Now this term, Son of David, is a messianic term. He's calling Jesus the Messiah. Now up to this point in Mark's gospel, whenever somebody recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus quiets them. But not here. In fact, it's interesting, the crowd is trying to quiet him. Right? Do you see that? Up to this point, whenever anybody recognizes Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus silenced them because the time hasn't yet come. But now the time has come. And blind Bartimaeus shouts out, Son of David. And the crowd is now trying to silence. He's calling Jesus Messiah. And again, the people in this day and age believed that the Messiah was going to come and sit on David's throne and vanquish the Romans and reestablish Israel as God's country, God's free people. But not only was the Messiah going to do that, there were amazing things foretold by Isaiah that Jesus would do. And in fact, you might remember when Jesus was in Nazareth right after he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, he went to Nazareth after the wilderness temptation. And he went to the synagogue, and he read a scroll. Let me read to you what he read. It's from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You remember that? And then he rolled it up and sat down and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Those were all markers of the Messiah's ministry that had been prophesied of by Isaiah. Now, hopeful Bartimaeus, a man who had no hope, hears that Jesus is coming, and he knows this is his opportunity. He cries out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Mercy. Mercy like we cried for just a few moments ago when we were singing. Because mercy is what Bartimaeus realized he needed. In fact, mercy is what we all need. Jesus comes along with a huge crowd, and don't miss the irony here. He's getting ready to enter into Jerusalem, and huge crowds are with him. And a week from now, he's going to leave Jerusalem being carried, his body lifeless. And hardly anybody is going to be following him but Joseph of Arimathea, who places him in his grave. They see, people are going to see Jesus performed a mighty act of mercy in Bartimaeus' life right now. And what they don't realize is his greatest act of mercy, his journey to the cross, where he would become a sacrifice and receive the punishment for the sins of mankind, that would go unheralded and celebrated. Friend, don't let that happen to you. There are people who come to church because they're desperate, because they need God's mercy in some area of their life. It might be in their marriage. It might be in a relationship with a child. It might be a sickness they're wrestling with, and they need God's mercy in that situation. And there are times when God shows them mercy in that situation, and they don't recognize the greatest mercy that God has shown them. The mercy God has shown them in the person of his Son in the cross. And so they look kind of upon God as a firefighter. There's a fire taking place in their house. Fire department comes, puts out the fire. They're thankful, but then life just goes back to normal. And they aren't gripped by the cross. They aren't gripped by the mercy that God has shown them in Christ on the cross. They miss it. They miss the even greater mercy. And so here you have, friends, we all need just as much mercy from the Lord as Bartimaeus does. His might be much more apparent. We might readily identify him as a beggar who's blind on the side of the road. Yeah, that guy needs the mercy of God, but so do all of us. And here's Bartimaeus crying out, and the crowd again tries to silence him. Isn't it interesting that those who are apparently following Jesus often get in the way of people who want to come to Jesus? Those who are following Jesus can at times get in the way of people who want to come to Jesus, but the crowd can't silence him because he's desperate for this mercy. Do you ever let the crowd silence you? Who is it, or what is it, that you let get in the way of going to the Savior for what you need? Friends, there are all kinds of crowds in your life that are encroaching upon you, telling you what's really important, what you should and shouldn't do. I'll let you figure those out, and if you need help, I can tell them to you. I don't want to get too personal this morning. But here you have a blind man who doesn't give up. He doesn't say, maybe the crowd's right. Maybe I'll just keep silent. I'll get Jesus the next time. And it's a good thing he didn't, because there wouldn't be a next time. Friends, do you see Bartimaeus pursuing Christ with this this desperation? Are you desperate for him? Jesus is just as compassionate and merciful today as he was back then. And what mercy is it you need from the Lord this morning? Some of you need mercy in your family. Some of you need mercy for your body. Some of you need mercy for your soul. Cry out to him. Cry out to him, and he will give you exactly what you need when you need it. Did Jesus answer Bartimaeus the first time? What does the text say? No. He kept crying out to Jesus. There's two cries. And here you have a blind man. Can you imagine just for a minute? Shut your eyes. Imagine being blind and trying to stop somebody. Can't do that. And yet here, God in the flesh is walking by, and he stops for the cries of Bartimaeus. Friends, God is merciful and hears your cry. He is more ready and willing to answer our prayers than we are to ask them. And so Jesus calls Bartimaeus to him and asks him, "What do you want?" Now, do you remember last week what happened with James and John? James and John come up to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, do for us what we would ask you to do." And James and John and Jesus says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" They say, "Grant us a seat at your left and right in glory." And Jesus says, "That's not mine to grant, but only my Father's in heavens." And then he goes on and talks about he would be first, must be last, and servant of all. But do you see the contrast Mark is bringing out here? James and John, Jesus asks them, "What is it you want?" Bartimaeus, Jesus asks him, "What is it you want?" It's the exact same wording. It's the exact same sentence. Verse 51 and verse 36. So go with me to verse 36. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked of James and John. Then here, verse 51. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. It's the same wording. Mark's trying to present a contrast. In fact, he's probably, again, the source for Mark was Peter. Peter's probably making a little dig at James and John and how they didn't get it. James and John, they want glory and honor. Bartimaeus says, "I want to see." Jesus doesn't give James and John what they want. But for Bartimaeus, he gives them eyes to see. Again, why this story? Why here? Why now? Jesus has healed blind people before. Well, the Bible is full of imagery of darkness and light. Let me read some passages to you. 1 Peter 2:9, "You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." Matthew 4:16, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Matthew 13:5, "For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." I could read you like the whole book of John's gospel, because it's full of this imagery. The light came into the world. Men loved darkness rather than light. And I think the point's clear to all of us. We are blind in our sinful condition. And we need a touch of Christ to see spiritual reality. Let me read to you what Lloyd-Jones says. Beggars cannot be choosers. And the first thing this gospel tells us all is that we are beggars. If you've not seen that, you will never become a Christian. If you think that you have any kind of spiritual currency in your pocket, you will never experience this salvation. You do not come to it as you come to anything else in this world. You must come on your knees. Friends, we are all Bartimaeus. Each and every one of us, blind beggars waiting for Jesus, the Son of David, to have mercy on us. And it's only through his mercy that we see. And if we really see who he is, we will follow him. The good news is that we are the kind of people that Jesus calls. We are blind, we are poor, we are beggars, we are poor blind beggars. He gives sight to, he gives eternal treasure to, he adopts his children. There's another contrast, not just the contrast between James and John and Bartimaeus, but there's also a contrast between Bartimaeus and another person who we've encountered just a few weeks ago. A rich young ruler. You might remember he was smart, he was reverent, he came running to Jesus, he fell down at Jesus' feet, he was obedient. Remember, he asked, Rabbi, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments, and he went on and listed most of them. And the young man said, all these I have kept. You would think this guy would be the number one draft choice for Jesus and his disciples. But he didn't know what he needed. See, Bartimaeus knows what he needs. He needs sight. The rich young ruler needed to leave his wealth behind. And we read that he went away sad. So contrast him with Bartimaeus. Why do you think in verse 50 that Mark includes the detail throwing his cloak aside? I think it's because Mark's contrasting him with the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler wouldn't leave his possessions to follow Jesus. What does Bartimaeus do? The cloak that he used, that was the place in which he received his resources, alms, his money, he throws it aside. And what does he do? He follows Jesus. Again, Bartimaeus has a name, the rich young ruler. He's only identified by the riches that he owns. So here you have a blind beggar who sees more clearly than a rich young ruler with two eyes. Which reminds us of one of the themes that we see over and over again in Mark's gospel, that faith comes before sight. Faith comes before sight. Remember when Jairus' daughter was dead? Jesus was going to Jairus' house because Jairus' daughter was sick and to heal her, and people said, don't bother to teach anymore. Your little girl's dead. Jesus said, she's not dead. She's just asleep. Turns to Jairus and says, don't be afraid. Believe. Faith comes before sight. Remember, Peter makes the great confession that Jesus is the Christ. He makes that before he sees the transfiguration. If he made that confession after the transfiguration, that would have been easy to say Jesus was the Christ. Later on, the crowd is going to yell in front of a cross, come down so that we might see and believe. But that's not how faith works. Here, as is the case for us all, faith comes before sight. And oh, what he would see. Look, I know I'm putting my imagination a little bit into this, but look at verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Actually, the Greek word there is saved you. And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So you can imagine, beggar comes before Jesus. Jesus looking at him in the eyes and says, go, your faith has saved you. And it says, immediately he sees. So what would have been the first thing he saw? I'm guessing it would have been Jesus. It would have been Jesus. And once he saw him, he would follow him. Once he fixed his eyes on him, he would not let go. Friends, Bartimaeus would go from a beggar on the side of the road to a disciple on the road. Remember, beggar on the side of the road. He sees Jesus, and now he's a disciple on the road. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. True faith follows Jesus. True faith follows Jesus. There's a lot of discussion. There are, when you talk to somebody about whether they believe in Christ or trust in Christ, oftentimes you need to figure out what they mean by believe, because oftentimes what they believe when they say believe is believe that he existed or he lived. But the kind of faith that saves is the kind of faith that follows. And friends, if you're here this morning and you're not following Jesus, then my encouragement to you is join me and Bartimaeus and start. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? Lord God, I know there are two types of people with us this morning. There are those who recognize the magnitude of the mercy that God has shown them and are following Jesus, and there are those who haven't yet. And so I pray first for those who haven't. I pray that as you had mercy on Bartimaeus, you would have mercy on them now. That you would give them eyes of faith to see and believe, that they would in their heart cry out to you to have mercy on them, that they would recognize their need for your mercy and cry out to you. And you tell us in your word, he who comes to me, I will no wise cast out. And as they cry out to you, would you give them sight? Sight to see you for who you are. Sight to recognize the greatness of the love that you've shown them. Eyes of faith to follow you, so that they might no longer be blind beggars, but insightful disciples. Have mercy on them, Lord. And I pray too for those of us who've already seen you. Those of us who are doing our best to follow you, Lord, there's times, you know, we still stumble. We still get distracted. We get preoccupied with other beautiful, shiny things. Would you give us eyes that see you for who you are and hearts that desire you and hope in you above all else? We pray in our Savior's precious name.